So you keep that passage open if you've got it at home or in church or on your phone, and we're going to look at that together now. Tim's a bit taller than me, quite a lot taller than me actually. Here we go. Great. Well, let's pray as we start this new series in Genesis. We're going to look at the Abraham years together over the coming weeks and months. It's going to be a great time as you see how amazing God is and how faithful he is and how we need the Lord and his promises. Let's pray and ask for his help. Father, we need to hear your voice. Speak your truth into our lives. Help me now in all my weakness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I wonder, have you ever asked this question? Is there a way back? Maybe your favourite football team or rugby team or netball team or whatever you follow has had a disastrous match and you think, is there any way back to the glory days of when they used to play really well? I remember a few years ago, we took the family on holiday to Normandy. They were all little at that stage, and we had a solid week of rain. We were staying by a beach. It was misery, and I thought, is there any way back to England? But maybe more seriously, maybe as you look back at your Christian life over the last year, it's not been a time of growth, but it's been a time of drift. You look back to a time when you were much keener, where you were on fire for the Lord, but now you look at your own heart, and quite frankly, it is a little bit cold, and you wonder, is there any way back? Or maybe you fear that for your kids, the prodigals in your family. Is there any way back? And I guess that's the question we ask as we come to Genesis chapter 12. After 11 chapters in the Bible, the extraordinary story of salvation history, which feels pretty bleak. Yet the opening chapters, chapters 1 and 2, God, the glorious, amazing creator of the world. And then from chapter 3 onwards, we see just the failure of man. Is there any way back, we ask, to how things were in the garden of relationship with God? Imagine you'd not read the rest of the Bible and you stood at the edge of chapter 11 and you're wondering, is there any way back? We've had Adam and Eve and the fall. We've had Noah and his ark and judgment on the world. We've had the Tower of Babel, chapter 11, and people rebelling against God and God scattering the people around the world in judgment. And we rightly ask, is there any way back to Eden? Is there any way back to know the Lord God as our Father and our friend? Is there any way back? Is it three strikes and you're out? Has God shut the door on his blessing on the world? So far, it's become a world of curse and judgment and rebellion. And yet, friends, as we read God's word today, did you hear those amazing words of blessing? God's intent, the living God, the creator God's intent to bless you, to bless the world. Five times in these three key Bible verses, verses 2 to 3, we hear God's determination to bless. Have a look. He says to Abraham and to Abraham's year, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Bless, 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 bless. That's God's intent for the world. That's God's heart for the world, to bless the world from the lips of the mighty Creator God into the ear hole of Abraham, whose name will change in a few chapters to Abraham. This, my friends, is a huge turning point in the story of the Bible. The promise of God, the intent of God, the determination of God to bless through Abraham's family. Is there a way back from the rebellious world of chapters 3 to 11? Yes, there is. As we think on these verses, we need to see the promises of God are what drives the plot of the story of Abraham and the rest of the Bible and our lives into eternity. And we're going to briefly look at this, these verses under two little headings. The first one is this. We're going to look at God's promise to the world. Whilst these promises are made to Abraham, their reach is global. Did you spot that? In verse 3, through Abraham's family, all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. This is not just about Abraham and the Jews and Israel. It's for them. Yes, yes, yes. But this is God's intent to bless all people, everybody else. That's us, Gentiles. Galatians 3, 7 to 9 makes it clear. Paul says that those who have faith in the promises of God are blessed by God, like Abraham. Have a look at these verses. God announced the gospel, the good news in advance to Abraham. All nations be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. We see in our Genesis reading that God is determined to bless the world. There is a way back to him. I will bless you if you trust in my promises. That's what God says to Abraham. Right here at the start of the Bible, God's plan and intent is to bless all people in the world. And that promise drives the whole story forward. And we know it culminates in Jesus, who comes from the family of Abraham, who came to seek and save the lost and bless them with life and salvation through his death on the cross and resurrection. Well, we see that God's promise of blessing in Genesis through Abraham shows that God is a missionary God. That is, God's plan right from the start through Abraham was to bless the world. And that's God's intent through his people today. And we can lose sight of that, can't we? We can lose sight that we have received the blessing of knowing Jesus if we're Christians. And we're called, therefore, to be a blessing, to cascade blessing out to the world around us, to our community, to the world, to reach this multicultural, multinational nation and world with the blessings and the grace of God. The good news of God, all spiritual blessings through faith in Jesus Christ. I wonder if I asked you, how would you describe the church? If it was like a boat, what would you say it was like? Maybe you would describe it like this, a very nice cruise ship. Problem with that is it's a bit like, it's all about us, isn't it? Our own pleasure, our own entertainment. But a better way to describe the church is being like a lifeboat that is sent out to save the lost, to call people to trust in Jesus and his promise of life and salvation. That is God's intent through the church today. God's blessing to the world and his people, that we might be a blessing and bringing the good news of Jesus to other people. I wonder, friends, who are you blessing right now with the life-giving news of Jesus? Who are you helping and showing the love of Jesus to? Who are you living Jesus' life before, that we might share the blessing of knowing him, the blessing of our lives with others? The great news that there is a way back. God's promise to the world. Secondly, God's promise to Abraham. Did you spot in chapter 12, verse 1, that God speaks? Verse 1, he speaks to Abraham, and he says this, he says, go. And it's a huge ask for Abraham, isn't it? He calls him to go, verse 1, from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. Go. Leave all of this behind. Go. Take your family, take your possessions, your animals, and go. And I'm not going to tell you where you're going. Just go. Imagine your boss telling you to do that. Leave your home, take your family and your pets, get on a plane and travel and just go. And I'll tell you where you're going to go when you get there. I'm not sure I'd want to do that, would you? But that's what God tells Abraham to do. That's the command, the call. Go. But with that comes a huge load of promises from the living, creator, mighty God. When God tells Abraham to go, it's not just a geographical move, is it? It's a spiritual change of direction. That's what's going on in chapter 12, verse 1. It's like a picture of repentance for Abraham, of turning away, of walking away from his family's pagan gods, and the rejection of the living creator God, and to have nothing more to do with that. And as part of that turning away, it's going to mean traveling somewhere else, living in a new way, making a new start with this speaking, living creator Lord God. It's not just leave your mum and dad behind, Abraham. It's stop following these pagan gods, which are no gods at all, and follow me. It's a call to repentance, isn't it? And faith. And that's just what he does. And he's able to do it because God gives him amazing promises. Verse 2, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. Abraham, as I ask you to go, I'm asking you to repent. And as I do that, I'm giving you amazing promises to bless you. I'm sending your way with the promises of God, which are trustworthy and sure. God will be for you, Abraham, if you go. I'll be for you in blessing. And if not yet a Christian this morning, maybe watching at home or in the building. The call of Jesus is the same. Follow me, the living God who wants to bless you with so much, but leave behind your old way of living and thinking. Repent of your past sins. Turn away from the idols in your life. Follow me, and my promise will sustain you. The blessing of the Lord. That he will never leave us or forsake us. That he will take us to heaven. That he will forgive us our sins. He will be with us always. What a promise. That's how it starts for Abraham in his walk with God. Go, leave behind, repent, and trust my promises. That's what saving faith looks like for us, isn't it? Trusting the promises of God that Jesus makes, that we might be the forever blessed people of God. And maybe if you're a Christian this morning, you know that God has put something on your heart right now that needs to change. Or God is calling you to do something. You've done nothing about it. You're saying, well, maybe when things are more comfortable, I'm more financially settled, but maybe the Lord is saying today, go. Do it. Be obedient. Trust my promises. I will not let you down. His promises are sure. They're there to sustain us. Do you know, whenever I feel lonely or isolated in leadership, whenever I face heartache or challenge in my family life, then there's nothing like the promise of God to keep me. I love his promises. I lean on his promises. Without his promises, I'm lost. What a blessing the promises of God are in Christ Jesus. Friends, there is a cost in going. There is a cost in obeying. But there is great blessing to hold on to the promises of God. And that's what we see happening for Abraham. Verses 4 to 9. By faith, he, in the promises, he obeys. Can you see that? He turns his back on his pagan gods. Verse 4, Abraham went as the Lord had told him. He takes his nephew and his family, and off they go. And he turns his back on the old life, and he believes God's promises against the odds, doesn't he? God has promised him he's going to make him into a great nation. That's a promise against the odds. If you look at chapter 11, verse 30, we're told there that his wife was childless. She was not able to conceive. How's God going to do that? But he boldly trusts the promises of God. And as he walks through the land of Canaan, there he is, verse 6 and 7, the Canaanites were in the land, lots of scary soldiers and people living in the land. And what does God say to him? Verse 7, I'm going to give this land to you and your family. That's a big promise to believe against the odds. It's full of people. How's that going to happen? He hasn't got any kids yet. And yet, Abraham says, okay, I trust you. I believe you. Extraordinary, isn't it? We see his devotion to the Lord, his worship to the Lord. Verse 7 and verse 9, he builds an altar, a picture of worship, of surrender, of trusting in the Lord. He kind of makes a mark on the ground saying, I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting in your promises, even if they're promises against the odds. Abraham obeys. That's what the Lord calls us to do. To be like Abraham, to obey the Lord. And yet, I love the scriptures because they're so real and honest about our human frailty. You see, by faith in the promises, he obeys. But then verses 10 to 20, we see that in fear, Abraham is faithless. Verse 10 to 20 is an extraordinary story, isn't it? Where instead of faith in the face of famine, he fears. He doesn't consult the Lord and stay on track. He travels to Egypt to get food, and he lies and pretends his beautiful wife is his sister to save his life. Have a look at verses 11 to 13. It's quite a little story. Imagine you're Sarah listening to this. As he's about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarah, I know what a beautiful woman you are. Why, thank you, Abraham, she says. Thanks. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. I am a bit of a trophy wife, she thinks. I am. But then they will kill me, so that I will be treated, and they will let you live. Okay. Say you are my sister, and I'll be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. Well, charming. What happens to Sarah? She gets taken into Pharaoh's harem. A very treacherous place for her, because of Abraham's lack of faithfulness. fear of famine, fear of Pharaoh, drives out faith in God's promise. And let's be honest, that's how it can be for us, can't it? We fear. We try to fix things ourselves. Our faith in the promise of God go wibbly wobbly. And yet, God is so faithful. Praise God. There's always a way back from faithlessness to God. At times, Abraham is an inspiring hero, but at times, he shows his frailty and how he's a failure. Do you see what God does? Verse 17, God sends a serious disease on Pharaoh and his household, and Sarai doesn't get it. He realized something is wrong, and the result is that Pharaoh tells Abraham and Sarah to go. God intervenes and sets them free. He didn't deserve that. And actually they leave with great blessing. Verse 2 of chapter 13, Abraham became very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold when they left Egypt. God blessed them and showed mercy to them. Undeserved. Unmerited. That's what our God is like. As we go through these chapters together, we will see at times Abraham is an inspiring hero. But I've seen today, he is at times an utter failure. Because actually, God is always the great hero of Scripture. We are always to look to him. Men and women are flawed. If you base your faith on them, you're going to be disappointed. But God is the faithful hero of the Bible. In spite of Abram's disobedience, he's faithful. He rescues him. He shows mercy to him. He blesses him. And he stays with him. And that is true for the people of God today. As we hold on to the perfect Son of God who always obeyed and never lets us down. I was reading this morning in my quiet time, Joshua 21 verse 45, and it said this: not one of all the Lord's good promises failed. Everyone was fulfilled. Isn't that amazing? God never lets us down. He's faithful. I know who I'm going to trust. Not Steve Rees. That's a disaster. I'm going to trust the Lord. He is faithful. You see, the great news of Genesis 1 to 11, of rebellion and curse, is that there is a way back. That God is a missionary God who makes promises to the world through Abraham to bring blessing through his family to the whole world. We know that's through Jesus. Is there a way back to God? Yes, there is. Is there a way to knowing his blessing forever? Yes, there is. Through Jesus, born in the family of Abraham. Trust in him. Is there a way back to God when fear drives out our faith? Yes, because he holds us fast. His promise is sure. He does not let us go. He is merciful and gracious. As we have this series together, we're going to say time and time again, how great is our God. And the God of Abraham, friends, is our God through Jesus. So let's delight in him. He's opened the door to all spiritual blessings through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's rely on him and trust in him. Let me pray. Lord, take this word to our hearts. We might love and exalt the God of Abraham, who is our God. Thank you for his promises and his faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.